Hi, how's it going, gang? It's time for Effin' Hormones, the podcast about perimenopause and beyond. I'm Emma Goswell, and this is the podcast where you get to hear me and my three mates, Helen, Bina and Terry, all sounding off about life, the universe and, of course, our effin' hormones. Now, it's been a little while since we've all been able to get together, so let's just say there's a lot to catch up on. There's been a bit of a big old media storm around menopause recently, so you'll be hearing all about that. Plus, find out what happened when it took me months to go and get something checked out. Yes, I don't come across as being very clever in this episode. I'll let you into a little secret by saying I am okay, but please don't wait. Please do prioritise your health, no matter how much you're looking after everybody else. Time to hear from the gang, though. Sadly, no Terry. But this time, let's hear from Helen and Bina. Hi, guys.
Hello. Here we are.
Hello.
How the devil are you?
Well, I'm floating on air. I did a Reiki course at the weekend.
Of course.
Talked about this in the last episode, didn't I? Yeah.
What did you learn? Are you sending us healing things through the
microphones? I can't do distance vibes yet. That's for like Reiki level two.
That's advanced, right? Okay. But you can touch us and make us feel better.
I don't have to touch you. I can hover. I can hover my hands over you and, like, you know,
channel
the energy.
You're blushing.
Honestly, mate, I felt I had the best night's sleep last night, and I woke up this morning. I was like, I feel great. I feel really, really great. I'm not going to go too much into it, because to be honest with you, it's bonkers, but cool. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, whatever works. Whatever works.
Well, since we last saw you, Bina, me and Helen have been to a Reiki session together, haven't we?
I thought you were going to say a rave session together then. Like...
Well, no, we're past that. No, we're not.
No, we're not.
No, we're not.
No, we're not. No, we're not.
But no, it wasn't. It was definitely less raving, more lying down under a blanket, listening to gongs.
Oh. Hi, so yeah. I've been wanting to check this out, this gong bath phenomenon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Do the gong bath.
Tell me, like, what happened?
So you lie down, people play the gongs, and it's all about the vibrations, man. Terry needs to be here to take the piss out of me. She really
I'm very close to doing it myself.
I know.
I'll do it, Bina, do it.
And do you know what? It's quite nice not to have it. I could just explain it without it taking the piss out of me. But anyway, it vibrates everything in your body. So you feel sensations. I mean, look, we all work with sound, don't we?
You
know,
that's true.
We know that sound can be a powerful thing. It can have a powerful influence on your emotions and your physical and body as well. So yeah, that's what the gongs are all about. But the reason why I was talking about it in the last episode was because there's a fair few perimenopausal women going to this, Bina, as I'm sure you can imagine.
Yeah.
You know, because if you're dealing with stuff or feeling stuff or, you know, suffering with stuff, then you'll quite frankly give it a go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll come and Reiki you.
Give it all a go.
I can't wait. Do you remember last year at some point, I was almost joking about the fact that I'd had which I stupidly sort of felt like was a period. Clearly, I wasn't having a period, was I? This was last August, so we're going back some. But this happened when I was in France, so I wasn't particularly thinking, oh, I'm going to ring the doctor, because I wasn't thinking that. I was just enjoying my holiday in France. Then it happened again in about September, October. And then it happened a third time in January, at which point several people who knew me were like, for fuck's sake, Emma, why aren't you going to the doctors? And I thought, yeah, I actually really should do that, shouldn't I? And, you know, like a lot of mums, maybe, I always prioritise the baby's health. And I'm in and out the bloody doctors weekly with something that's wrong with the baby, but never think, oh, I'll worry about my own health. So I just sort of neglected it. And as soon as I told the doctor, they took it so seriously. I was put on a 2-week pathway, which means they are worried that, bottom line, you could have cancer.
Sure.
And they had me in a hospital within 3 days. Because there was something going wrong for you to be bleeding 5 years after you've had your last period, which it was for me. That should not be happening.
Yeah.
So I told my doctor on the Monday. By Thursday, I was in Oldham Royal having a camera shoved up my nunu.
No. Okay, bless you. That's not what you want to be, is it?
Let's not go there. It wasn't something that I was really enjoying. Like, it was an unpleasant experience, shall we just say.
Yeah, you're really not down with that, are you?
I was really not down with that, but I coped with it. To be honest, it was just more embarrassing and a bit cringy, but it was fine. And then the next day, I had another appointment at a different hospital, and this is what really confused me. I was like, and I just thought I was going to the second hospital appointment for the results of that having a probe shoved up me. So I thought I'd just be given information. So yes, I go in this room and there's a doctor and two women in like PPE, rubber gloves. And I'm like, whoa, what are they doing here? And I'm
okay,
like, what's happening here? What is going on? And then she's like, all right, ask me all these questions, blah, blah, blah. Supposed to have had the results from the other hospital, didn't have them, loads of phone calls, blah, blah, blah. They're all waiting around, just having chats about the baby. And then they make me get up on this bed and they're like, well, now we're going to examine you. And I was like, well, I thought that's what I had yesterday. And they said, oh, no, that was just at the beginning, sort of the very end of your cervix. Now we need to go right into your womb and take photos.
Oh, no,
yeah, yeah, yeah. And this is a hysteroscopy.
Okay.
And I said, is this going to be painful? And she went, oh, no, it's not. It'll just be a bit like a smear test. And I said, well, I've been in absolute screaming agony with smear tests because I'm menopausal and it is really, really painful. And it was really, 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 really painful. It was horrific.
Mm.
And then next to me, and these two women just trying to make, like, conversation, and then next to me was a big screen of my womb and she's going, oh, yeah, you need to look here because I basically had polyps. That's why I was bleeding. So I had three polyps, which is why I bled three times. So she's trying to get me to look at it, and I'm too busy screaming and crying. It was so unbelievably
Emma.
Painful.
Oh, no.
And then she said, oh, we can perform the procedure now if you want to have to cut out your polyps. I was like, what, without anaesthetic? Are you mad? And she was like, well, yeah, we could do that now. I was like, I don't think so. She said, oh, you can choose to come back in a few weeks and have it done under general anaesthetic. I went, yes. Yes, I would like to have general anaesthetic, because even just having this is fucking painful, thank you very much.
I see how.
So then a few weeks later, I was booked in for a procedure which I demanded to have under general anaesthetic. But there are women that are having that procedure without general anaesthetic.
Without.
And I've since discovered there's an entire movement and campaign, the campaign against painful hysteroscopy, because particularly during COVID, women were denied painkillers or anaesthetics or anything, and were just expected to have this very painful procedure.
Why during COVID? Just because they weren't available?
It was just used as an excuse, like you can't come back and you can't reschedule, you're going to have this done now.
Oh, right, yeah, because you couldn't have another appointment kind
of thing. But then that's been going on since COVID, and there are still people that are made to have this procedure still now without anaesthetic.
Just explain what polyps are, Emma.
Bits that are growing in your womb.
Let's see what a polyp is.
What does it say?
Okay.
Growth.
So a polyp. So it's a growth on or in an organ in your body. And it says most polyps are benign, which means they're not cancerous.
Yes.
Some are precancerous, which means they could turn into cancer over time. Some may be malignant cancerous, which means they can spread.
Yes. So that's the danger. So they're worried that they might not be benign. So they did some tests, so they didn't think they were. They had to cut them out, and then they had to go and take them to a lab and double check. And you'd be pleased to know that a few weeks after my procedure, so about a month since the first time I went to the doctor, I was given the all clear. So they said,
wow,
no, they are definitely benign.
Oh,
it's not.
Wow.
It's
what
nothing
a time
sinister.
Of it ever.
Well done, NHS. Yeah.
Yes.
Well done, NHS.
Absolutely. They were amazing. But I just can't believe that so many women, again, are being forced to go for these incredibly painful procedures. And you can bet your bottom dollar, men would not be expected to do anything that painful without a hell of a lot of drugs. I'm sorry, but they just wouldn't.
No.
That's incredibly painful. I find it extraordinarily painful having a camera in my womb. So to have that whole procedure without, I just can't imagine.
So I can't, I mean, because like, you know, I had IVF. And it's minor surgery to have, the egg retrieval is minor surgery. And I went in for this and I knew absolutely bugger all about it before I went in. I thought I was going to be back at work the next day, maybe even like the same day. Do you know what I mean? I just thought it was a quick scrape. And I mean, you know, I'd been poked and prodded and had things put up. All sorts of bit. When you're trying to have a baby, and when you have a baby, you know, you end up just kind of getting used to people going in all kinds of places that you kind of, you know. And actually, when I had the egg retrieval, I was like, I had an anesthetic. I didn't have a general anesthetic, but I had a what's the sort of in between?
Local,
sort of still. Yeah, but I was very woozy and like I wasn't with it at all. Do you know what I mean? But I wasn't completely under, and they were so. They were so careful and circumspect and great with me about all of that that I'm surprised. Like, why is it not the same for the whole hysteroscopy?
Speaking of IVF, there's that series called The Retrievals, which is an American podcast series,
right?
Which is basically on this. It's about how much pain a lot of women are in, and how they're denied drugs and medication to. For certain procedures like egg retrieval.
There was one woman, I mean, I was absolutely fine, but there was the girl next to me. I mean, I didn't see it because it was all sort of curtained off, and you come out and you always get like the tea and toast afterwards, don't you, after this kind of thing.
Oh yeah.
And she was I can hear her now. She was in so much pain. Do you know what I mean? And I was like, God, that poor woman, because I felt all right, but you know, yeah. Shit, innit?
Well, very happy for you. You, Emma, very
God
relieved.
You're all right as well. Gosh. Bloody hell.
Well, luckily I was under for a good couple of hours, I think, really, and just sort of came to and didn't know where the hell I was or what was going on. And I was like, why can I hear Scott Mills? I was like, have I got my hair too on? And then I started talking about Donald Trump to this poor, what looked like a teenage nursing assistant who was taking my vital statistics, and she must have thought, bloody hell, they've given her too many drugs.
Oh no, it's funny when you do burble on. I was telling all my lot about Bradley Cooper. I was going on about Bradley Cooper. I was just like, blah, 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 blah.
I just went off on a monologue. I was like, oh, thank God for the NHS. Isn't this brilliant? I've been cured. This is fantastic. Aren't we all glad we don't live in America? And then what about Donald Trump? Oh, what's gonna happen at the election? I'm trying to talk to this poor woman about the American election. She couldn't have given a shit, to be honest. She was just looking at me like, oh, woman, shut up.
Hilarious. So listen here, you. Like, come on, let's have a little talk about this lack of prioritising your own health. What's going on there, matey? Do you know what I mean?
Well, I think I just always, which is ridiculous considering what happened to my sister, who passed away from breast cancer, I just always have this innate faith that I'm and everyone else in my family is going to be fine and we're never going to get anything. I don't know why. I just have this blind faith. I'm like, I'll be fine. It'll be nothing to see here. We'll all be fine. I just live in cow cuckoo land. I think I'm just a bit happier doing that, really. But yeah, I need to actually pay attention. My body was trying to tell me something. You don't bleed when you're 5 years after your last period. You don't. So yeah, I should have taken notice.
But it's priority. I mean, you mentioned obviously baby and things like that. And this is obviously the situation a lot of women in our lives are in. A lot of people, you know, juggling, prioritising, last on your own list type scenario.
Yeah.
It is that your oxygen mask thing, isn't it? You've got to put your oxygen mask on. I know it's a cliche, but you just have to.
We do.
Big hugs.
Well, that's enough about us, probably. Shall we talk about what's happening in the news?
Oh,
it's all going off.
It's all been kicking off.
But it really has kicked off, hasn't it? Helen, what about you give us a bit of a summary as to how exactly it's all kicked off about the menopause in the mainstream media in the last few weeks?
Okay, so we're past International Women's Day now. That, at the time of recording, that was last week. And then it was Mother's Day. So there was a lot of stuff around celebrating women, a lot of, you know, woman stuff generally. But like in the sort of days running up to that, The Lancet, which is a medical journal, one of the top medical journals in the world.
Very well respected, actually. Yeah.
Very well respected. Yeah. It's got a hell of a lot of clout. It's from the UK, but it's well renowned all over the world. It released a series of papers about menopause, which kicked up a lot of debate. These papers sort of seem to be calling for a more balanced discussion, a more balanced representation of menopause in the media. Listen, I've got an issue with that at all. I mean, you know.
No.
But some of the things it was pointed out that people have really kicked off about is that they're saying that menopause is being portrayed as a disease, first of all, and that it's being portrayed as a disease by people who've got vested interests in pushing HRT or certain products in order to be a solution for that disease. Some of the papers were talking about commercial companies using things like empowering feminist slogans, pushing HRT, and that some of the campaigns and the awareness raising over menopause, for example, being recognised as a protected characteristic under the Equality Act, for example, only sort of further promotes this narrative that, that menopause is a disease to be solved with medication, i.e. HRT. And they wanted to sort of balance it out by saying, look, many women go through this stage of life and actually don't have any problems, and that this is a natural stage of life that we all go through. So the papers do say that HRT is the best treatment for things like hot flushes, but they seem circumspect about HRT being treatment for anything else, because some people...
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Blah, blah, blah.
Sorry.
So anyway, look.
Yeah.
It's... And then...
Ready to launch.
You know,
get ready.
These papers make the point that there are also acute shortages of HRT in different parts of the world, and they're basically calling for more balanced discussion on the subject. Now,
they've conflated many things.
Yes, they have. They've conflated very many things.
But these are, it is important to say, these are four separate papers.
That's right.
It's not just one paper that's saying all of this.
Yes.
It's four different papers, each focusing on a slightly different aspect.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
So, I mean, to be honest, when you sort of read through it all, you kind of like, I read the initial paragraphs like introducing these papers, and I, my personal response to this is it came across as a bit like, Now, little woman, don't be complaining too much. We're running out of HRT, you know.
I just find a lot of the language very patronising. I just find it...
Yes, I found the language patronising.
I think we have to remember that The Lancet is a British publication, but it's on a global platform.
Mm.
So when it talks about commercialisation, I mean, when you mentioned Emma earlier about the American health system, we know that everything, like, you know, you turn on the TV in America and there's about 50 different types of medication just thrown at you in the adverts. So perhaps there's something going on there, and maybe in other parts of the world that don't have our system. In addition, yes, there is a shortage of HRT, but why? It means that, I think that if it welcomes discussion, I mean, we started this podcast, why did we start it? Because we knew fuck all.
Mm.
So it's about education. It's not about if people end up going to the doctors for medication, and that is decided, it's decided that that is the best course of action for that individual, so be it. But if we're talking about over-medicalisation, how many people have we spoken to, and how many times have each of us just gone, here, have a prescription for antidepressants?
Yes, exactly.
That's not 100%. Fucking over-medicalisation. I have no idea why HRT is such a big deal.
Mm.
Because antidepressant is the first thing that everyone mentioned. Everyone we've ever interviewed, or like loads of my friends, here you go, have a prescription for antidepressants.
Exactly. It has been over-medicalised for years. We've all been forced...
With the wrong type of medication. I'm not saying antidepressants don't help. We've all acknowledged that. But it's that was used as a... It's used to plug a hole because there was a lack of knowledge.
Mm.
And now finally, because of the Davinas and the Louise Newsons and Kate Muirs and all of that, there's a lot, and, you know, Carol Vordermeer, all of these people, at least in the British outfit, and, you know, even us, have increased awareness. So now people are more aware, they have more agency to go and ask for things. Maybe there's still a lack of knowledge in the medical establishment about how to deal with this.
And also, as Kate Muir said, I don't know where she got this figure from, but she said 80% of women do not get medical help. So how can they say it's over-medicalised when still most women are not seeking medical help
or are still
being denied it?
Or denied it because there's a lack of education and understanding.
Yeah. Dr. Louise Newsom
said there's not a standardisation.
One of her patients came to her recently and said that their doctor had refused them HRT because they said it was just fashionable because of Davina. And that is from a recent GP in this country. So that attitude still prevails.
This is it. So I think when it's just unhelpful, isn't it? It's just completely unhelpful.
Mm.
This tone of discussion. I think that if they had, you know, instead of calling out celebrities for trying to do right. You know what I mean? Like, it's just weird.
You're absolutely right. You've hit the nail on the head there with the tone of the discussion. You know, even reading the introduction to the papers, which is, listen, I'm not going to lie, I haven't had time to read through the papers. Do you know what I mean? I'm busy. But the introduction from The Lancet.
I've read them. They're not all bad.
No, it's not all
bad. There's a lot of very valid points.
Yeah, absolutely. But in that introduction to all the papers, when I read through it, I was like, this is patronising. There are some really patronising tantalising lines in here. It did make me feel angry, because the fact is, you know, since time immemorial, we've not been taken seriously. We haven't had the information. We haven't had sort of compassion or enough compassion or support or the right treatment. And so it takes a campaign, and it takes people stepping forward and making a big noise about it in order to enact any kind of change. Now, whenever you have anything like that, there's a backlash, isn't there? And this is that inevitable backlash to that. Mm. And that's why I do feel angry about it, because it's kind of like, well, you know, you can complain about it, but don't complain too much.
Yeah. Oh, you know, yeah, it's just part of normal aging process.
Don't complain too much. And that's why I feel like it's quite now, little woman. That's how it's made ended up making me feel.
It's like
you're saying to me that after decades and decades of women suffering and not getting the help and support they need, that we're not allowed to kick up a bit of a bloody fuss about it for a while. Do you know what I mean? Because if this was about bloody erectile dysfunction,
oh, completely. Yeah, yeah. If it was about floppy dicks, yeah.
Well, have you seen this woman's post where she's actually put the words erectile, listen to it, this lady on Twitter called Sparkly Barkley. She said, I substituted men and erectile dysfunction, another age-related issue, in a paragraph from the intro. And listen to, when you read it back, listen to how it sounds.
Whoa.
This is absolutely
brilliant.
So this is substituting men and erectile dysfunction for women in menopause. Men with erectile dysfunction can be strong, healthy and happy, as highlighted by the selection of inspirational images of older men that accompany the series. Age-related erectile dysfunction can be a time for men to reassess their identities, to embrace the next phase of their lives and freedom from unwanted erection and desire. And to challenge negative perceptions of older men, which are prevalent in some societies. We need to send a realistic, balanced message to men and to society. Testosterone decline and erectile dysfunction does not herald the start of a period of decay and decline, but is a developmental life stage that can be negotiated successfully with access to evidence-based information as well as appropriate social and medical support. Men deserve nothing less.
Sparkly Barkley
on Twitter. Well done. Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
I think it was Dr. Louise Newson that retweeted that, and it just says it all, doesn't it?
It just says it all. I think the other thing that struck me as I was reading the Lancet articles is, why have we never talked about the over-medicalisation when it comes to the pill? Right? The fuck?
Well, it's very interesting that you say that, actually, because I don't know if you saw, because Kate Muir has sort of gone down the pill route now as well. I don't know if you saw, another documentary about it, and I watched it. It was probably about six, maybe longer than 6 months ago. But honestly, I nearly cried when I watched that programme, because I took the pill when I was 17 and went. The impact that it had on my mental health was extreme. I became a completely different person. I broke up the relationship that I was in, so there was no point taking it anyway. And then I haven't taken it since, right?
Interesting.
Now, as a, you know, a heterosexual woman who, you know, like, I felt like a weirdo, okay? Because I couldn't take the pill, yeah? Mm. And for years, I had this weird, almost like a shame about it, because it's just so just get on with it kind of thing. And I felt it made me, I don't know, I had weird shame feelings about it, right? And also, you know, the conversation that I'd have with new boyfriends, do you know, that would be weird for me as well. So anyway, watch this episode, this documentary that Kate had done, and honest to God, I was like, fucking hell, it's not just me. And I nearly cried, guys. I nearly cried.
People I know really have had interesting experiences on the pill, from mental health.
But nobody ever talked about
it. Bodies never quite recovering.
Right.
Struggling to get pregnant when they are ready to try and get pregnant.
Mm.
And I mean, I was 36. I go to the doctors. They go, well, you've got polycystic ovaries flaring up. And I'm like, yeah, I know that's a kid. I know that's a thing. I said, I think I'm also maybe perimenopausal, getting laughed out of the surgery. I did change doctors, thankfully.
Good.
But the repeated solution they kept trying to give me was, well, just go on the pill. I'm like, I'm 36.
Yeah, just go on the
pill.
I know.
Just go on the pill. So why the fuck is that all right?
Do you know what? I mean, I just feel like there is, you know, because obviously the menopause conversation is quite loud. You know, there's a lot that's been achieved. And but from, you know, there's a lot, I feel that a wider conversation building up about other aspects of women's health that I'm seeing, you know, people will talk about endometriosis, you know, Kate Muir doing that documentary about the pill. And you sort of think like there is this sort of groundswell of women actually coming together and talking about each other and going, I'm not fucking taking this anymore. I'm not having it anymore. Right. This is just not fucking good enough, right? And so you do get a thing like this Lancet thing that's just like, let's just push it all back because it's all getting a little bit too, you know, feisty.
Well, isn't the lady who led on it the same person who, I don't know if she solely wrote the, I don't think she will have solely wrote the NICE guidelines, but the CBT thing.
Oh, sure. So
there
were some people who were contributing towards those recent draft NICE guidelines.
Yeah, the draft guidelines.
And so they were, and so there was a big hoo-ha about that a few months ago, because they were talking about CBT, the importance of CBT as a sort of, you know, maybe that could be used instead of HRT. Now,
is that what they said? Was it instead of, or was it in conjunction with, or alongside?
I think let me double check, because I think it was instead of, because that's why people were kicking off. Now, listen, we've talked a lot about mental health on this podcast, and we've all talked about the importance of it being a combined approach with, it's not just HRT. And Dr. Louise Newson says this, you know, all the
campaigners. Everyone says it. Not everyone needs it.
Exactly. Yeah. That it's a combined approach. It's lifestyle. It's diet. It's sleep.
Education.
It's exercise. It could be CBT therapy. It could be HRT. You know, so I have got a problem with CBT. I've had it myself. It's changed my life. But if women are still going to the doctors and being pushed out of the surgery for asking for HRT, I think that's a problem.
I think obviously the backlash now is that you go into, you know, someone goes to the doctor, someone unsuspecting who doesn't know about this Lancet stuff goes into the doctors, and then the doctor starts waving the Lancet paper.
Exactly, what they're going to do? It's not fair, is it? So the NICE guidelines, they're placing CBT on a par with HRT.
That's fair.
So it said offered cognitive behavioural therapy alongside or as an alternative to hormone replacement therapy.
I'm not sure you can CBT your hormones.
No, I mean, that was the controversial part of it, wasn't it?
That was the controversial part of it.
We suggested instead of HRT.
Yeah, I mean, we have all said that us getting our head around things has helped with our symptoms. We've all said that at some point. But why can't it be part of the palate? Do you know what I mean? It's weird. It's just the whole thing's weird.
I mean, they're not saying it can't, right? From my interpretation. It's just the emphasis that they say, you know, as you say, when you read out that paragraph, Emma, it's clear that there's an error, regardless of the fact that all of the people who contribute to these articles are all women, there is an air of misogyny that runs through this. I'm sort of wondering where the sisterhood is in this, I guess. It's like, well, you know, finally people are waking up, they're educating themselves. We've always said, like, we started this because we did not have a clue what was going on. That's why we started this podcast. And things have come a long way. I mean, how different is the conversation now than it was when we started?
And I do think there's an element of some women having very little or sometimes no symptoms of the menopause and just thinking,
Completely. What
is all the fuss about? I'm not having empathy with these other women because it was fine for me. Why don't they just shut up and get on with it? I do think that some women think that.
Yeah, possibly. Possibly, but there are also probably there's probably a lot of women who don't and actually who have up until now maybe suffered in silence.
Yeah, quite. Absolutely. So
because
women
are told to put up and shut up.
That's just what
it's always been like.
And,
you know,
that's why we're here.
And I don't know about you guys, but you know, I would like to live in a society that actually prioritises the needs of people who are suffering the most. Rather than going, well, I don't have a problem with it, so why should I? Do you know what I mean? That's the kind of world and environment and culture that I want to try and promote and live in. Mm. So if people are suffering and you don't understand it, then just don't say anything. Do you know what I mean?
Just feel lucky.
Maybe I just need to Reiki the Lancet people.
Maybe you do, Helen. You need to do level two for that. Don't forget, you can't
do
it for
level two.
You're not going to get your hands on those Lancet women, are you?
Don't think I want to.
I don't think after listening to this episode, they'll want you anywhere near them, to be honest.
No.
So do level two, and then he can reiki them from a distance. How about that? Blimey, we've had such a rant this episode. Not even had time to talk about Menno washing and talk about the Menno branded almonds and chocolate, dark chocolate. What is this nonsense, Helen?
Oh yeah, people are kicking off about this. It's menopause chocolate, girls. Woohoo!
Menopause chocolate.
Listen, we'll talk about that in the next episode. Menno washing, that's all sort of tied in with all this as well. We've talked about this in the past. But listen, you know, the thing is, I think with all of this, like, they're just taking all the shit bits that are happening and putting them together and going, oh, look what can happen here, you know. They're not actually looking at, like, the positive things that are happening, like the increase in understanding and women talking to each other and educating themselves and the positive
feeling
side.
Better on
feeling
HRT.
Better, you know. Well, listen, I don't take HRT. You know, it's ended up that I don't take HRT. Do you know what I mean? Not everyone takes HRT, but that's because we've all educated ourselves and we've come to our own personal choices and decisions. And like, if you educate yourself, then you can do that too. And hopefully if you listen to this podcast, that's what you're getting from us talking to each other about it. So keep the faith, you know? Keep the faith, ignore the headlines and but get a bit angry as well, because that's how you make change. Yeah, angry, but, you know, with a few chuckles.
Productively cross.
Productively cross. That's what we want.
Effing hormones. We like to be productively cross.
That's our new strap line. Yeah.
Strap what?
Strap line.
Strap line.
A strap line.
A strap line. A strap line.
Brilliant.
We are productively cross. Effing hormones, TM. Love it.
There you go. And that's it for this episode of Effing Hormones. You'll hear from us again in about a month's time. In the meantime, do drop us a review or tell someone else who needs to know about us. We love you loads. Bye.
Love you. Love you. Keep the faith. Hang in there. Bye.